Great Equifax data breach affected more than 145 million people and potentially put more than 200,000 Social Security numbers at higher risk for identity fraud. But that hack is the least of the Internal Revenue Service's worries as the tax agency gears up for the 2018 filing season. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers joins me now with more about the IRS preparations for 2018. Meredith, IRS had hired Equifax because Equifax protested a award that IRS had given to Experian, a follow-on award. So they, in turn, turned around the IRS, gave it back to Equifax. Now the GAO said the protest was upheld, so they dropped Equifax again, and they're, I presume, back with Experian. Is the IRS worried about fallout from the Equifax breach otherwise, outside of all of this contracting nonsense?
It's not that the IRS isn't worried about what could happen after the breach. It's more, this is just another hack in a long line of past and very likely future hacks. And that understanding is why IRS Commissioner John Koskinen said he didn't think the breach would make any significant or noticeable difference during next year's filing season. At least that's what he told reporters during a press call on the 2018 next year's filing plans. Koskinen said the lesson to learn from the breach is that everyone, including businesses and state and local governments, should take steps to protect personal information.
Unfortunately, as a result of all the previous breaches that have gone on over the last 2 or 3 years in both the public and the private sector, our estimate is a significant percentage of those taxpayers already had their personal information in the hands of criminals. Our estimate has been before that breach that information on over 100 million Americans was already in the hands of criminals. My advice to people is saying you should assume your name, Social Security number, and address are already in the hands of criminals and then act accordingly.
So basically what Koskinen is saying, the world and the IRS are chest deep in salt water.
Yes.
And the Equifax breach was a little wavelet that maybe raised it up to the neck level, but doesn't fundamentally change the situation.
Just about. You could just say they're like, almost like treading water because, of course, that information, was it stolen? Has it already been out there? That's what he's saying.
Let's go back to that contract that I mentioned earlier. You've been covering this whole thing because, again, GAO ruled on a bid protest from Equifax.
Yes, it's a lot of he said, she said. When did this happen? When did it not? So let's go all the way back to early September when Equifax announced that it had been hacked. A few weeks later, the IRS announced it had entered into a contract with Equifax for electronic authentication services. And that immediately sent up some red flags because people, including members of Congress, were wondering why, after all this news about jeopardized information and who's responsible, why would the IRS want to do business then with Equifax? And what we learned was that back in July, IRS had in fact awarded a bid for the or a contract for these e-authentication services to a different credit reporting agency, Experian. There are three major credit reporting agencies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Equifax protested the bid, which isn't unheard of, and GAO had 100 days to make a decision on the protest. And these decisions aren't taken lightly, and they don't happen very fast. So when the end of September came and it was time to start another contract, IRS issued a short-term bridge contract with Equifax to maintain services. Yes, the protester, to maintain services while GAO made its took the time to make its decision. But then only a couple weeks later, IRS suspended that short-term contract, saying it was a precaution while the agency continued to review whether or not the Equifax breach had jeopardized any information within the tax agency system.
So that suspension was basically in response to the blowback that they got from giving it to Equifax in the first place.
Yes, that's what I think so too. Yeah, and so this means that right now, if you want to create a new account using Secure Access, which is just used for stuff like online transcripts, you can't do that online if you're a new user. You have to do it through snail mail, but if you already have an account, you're fine. Then on Monday, GAO announced that it had denied the bid protest, Equifax's bid protest, basically saying while both Experian and Equifax proved they could provide the services IRS needed, Experian just did it cheaper. And so that's where we are. IRS said it was going to move as quickly as it can to begin service under the new contract, and it's still reviewing the short-term contract with Equifax.
And this was a follow-on contract in which Equifax was the incumbent that lost initially to Experian.
Yes.
And then that loss was reaffirmed.
Yes. I talked to a government procurement expert, and he said that it typically happens.
Oh, yeah.
An incumbent, if they lose the bid, they will try for a protest bid, and then they usually will get a bridge contract while there's that 100-day
sure.
decision time.
Yeah, very common. Okay. Just that we have controversy overlaying the company outside of the federal market. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, and getting back to the 2018 filing season, what is the IRS doing to get ready now?
Commissioner Koskinen said the IRS is adding some new things and building on past year's successes to strengthen taxpayer data security. The W-2 verification code pilot program is expanding to an additional 66 million forms, and sharing data points or pieces of digital information from a tax return are going to be continue to be shared among Security Summit partners. The summit is a partnership between IRS, states, and tax professionals that Koskinen organized and convened for the first time 2 years ago.
We will also increase our focus on protecting business returns from tax-related identity theft. One way we plan to do this is by asking tax professionals to obtain more key information on their business clients, such as the client's tax payment history and parent company information. This will help us ensure that the returns we receive are from a legitimate filer and not an identity.
Thanks to the summit's work, IRS stopped 883,000 confirmed identity theft returns in calendar 2016. And through this August 2017, IRS has stopped 443,000, which is a 30% decline from last year. And Koskinen says this reflects the fact that IRS has made it harder for criminals to file false returns en masse. And so now they have to do it on an individual return-by-return basis.
Another important sign involves, as I mentioned earlier, the number of people reporting to us that they were victims of identity theft. In 2016, the number of victim reports were 376,000, a drop of 46% from the prior year.
That's IRS Commissioner John Koskinen. And this was his last tax season briefing since his term ends as commissioner in November. And he said he was confident that there would be a continuity of effort for the summit after he left, thanks in part to rolling the summit's oversight and coordination into the Electronic Tax Administration's Advisory Committee.
It's hard to imagine anyone, President, Secretary, Commissioner, unwinding anything that's been this important and this successful and this enthusiastically supported by states in the private sector. My hope and goal is that we will continue to have the great support we've had at the senior levels of all of these organizations, as well as at the operating and analytic.
That's Commissioner John Koskinen. And I should say this update comes just after the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, or TIGTA, released its Management and Performance Challenges, a report for the IRS for fiscal 2018. And of those 10 challenges, the top three are identity theft and impersonation fraud and providing quality taxpayer service. So we'll see how the 2018 filing season goes and how well IRS succeeds in protecting taxpayer data and meeting those challenges.
And also in 2018, they're going to, I think, begin to figure out a strategy for replacing their individual master file system, the IMF.
The IMF.
That is key to modernization, and that is written in a great deal of it in assembler language, which there's no easy way to extract a logic and the code out of that to modernize it. So if they can crack that nut, a lot of things fall open for them.
There goes my backup plan. I was going to try to learn how to write that code for the IMF and then just like charge them $1 million an hour to use me. Because, yeah, there's so few people who know how to use that stuff. And eventually they're either going to move or pass on, and then you're stuck.
Well, there's an estimate there's 50,000 Model Ts still on the road. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers, thanks for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
And be sure to check out all of her IRS coverage at federalnewsradio.com.